2021 Writing Contest Honorable Mention. The Suitcase Odyssey by Karen Bright. Put a sheet of wax paper over your eyes and secure it to your face. Why? Because I am a big believer in inclusion, and this is how I see the world. It's fuzzy but not opaque. I can see the light and colors of my surroundings, and I can see large objects as I happen upon them. I cannot, however, see details. I cannot see the smile on my daughter's face or twinkle in her eyes. I can't read words on paper, and I definitely cannot drive a car. I mean, I guess technically I do know how to drive a car because I only lost my eyesight 3.5 years ago as a 40-year-old. But no, I cannot drive a car. I am blind. Not the all-consuming my world is dark as night all the time blind that most people imagine when they hear the word blind. And this is why language has changed over the years. Visually impaired is a more accurate description. That all being said, it's wordy, and I am blind. Any scope of it is life-changing and exhausting and makes every day a total challenge. But I packed for my entire family for a weekend getaway, and it only took me 6 hours and one set of tears. Success. Before I lost my eyesight, I used to have a blog called The Bright Insight. I would write little quips to help get through tasks, and the shtick with my writing was none of my advice was helpful, only a little story to get you through the day. It's been a while since I've written anything, and I miss it. Now, of course, I have to use a screen reader that speaks through my iPad and tells me every character and space I make with the keyboard. It takes a lot of patience and getting used to, but this is the challenge I wake up to every day. So, here I go. This is my advice on how to pack for your family for the weekend. As I stated in the beginning, cover your eyes with wax paper and secure it to your face. That may be too generous. I forget what wax paper looks like, but I think it will do. As long as you cannot see details or depth, I'll be satisfied. Now that you are properly blind, you will need to get your suitcase. Here is where you are realizing, oh no, I don't keep that in the middle of my kitchen floor. Which is obviously where you found your wax paper and stuck it to your face and are now standing. Okay, no big deal. Just go get it. This is where I ran into trouble almost immediately. We keep our luggage upstairs in the attic. Our attic is located off the frog. A frog is not just a terrifying creature waiting to hop out at you, conspiring with the lizards and snakes hiding under every car, behind each rock, sitting cleverly camouflaged in the grass, and lying in wait on the front steps to scare us all out of our wits. It's also an acronym for Finished Room Over Garage. I feel I need to clarify here that I was not always afraid of frogs, and I probably do not have any lying in wait at any time in my very suburban front yard. But since losing my eyesight, my fear is real and constant. I am a very reasonable person, though, and so I send my 6-year-old daughter out in the world ahead of me to take on the danger first. So, back to my suitcase, which is located in the attic that is off of the frog. To enter, you have to open a door, which is about 2.5 feet off the ground and is locked with a sliding bolt. The attic is roughly 490 degrees, give or take, and it is huge. One thing I have learned to accept is that some things are simply out of my wheelhouse. If I am to be completely honest here, I would not have gotten the suitcase pre-vision loss either. This is a definite job for my husband. Daryl is in his home office, so I will go get him now. I will assume you are figuring out your own way to find your luggage at this time. In my early days of blindness, there would have been yelling and maybe tears already, but I am much more patient these days. I head to Dee's office, and I realize how fortunate I am to have somebody home with me. I open his door and immediately hear 3 loud and quick rap, rap, raps. This is our signal to tell me he is on a call and to come back. Like I said earlier, patience. This signal is really effective. I came up with this signal when I first returned home from the hospital with my new visual impairment. My daughter was only 2 at the time and was new enough to chewing that I needed to ensure that I had a way to tell that she was A, not choking, and B, learning to keep her mouth closed while chewing. I came up with a hard and fast rule that, when addressed at the table, if she had food in her mouth, she was to bang on the table. This would signal she was chewing and she would answer as soon as she was finished. She thinks she's gotten very clever over the years and now simply bangs on the table whenever she doesn't feel like talking. However, good news, I'm clever too, and I'm on to her little tricks. Since I do not have my suitcase, I can get started on Rachel's. I keep hers in her closet. Okay, time to navigate through Barbie's Village and Ponyland. My daughter knows I am blind, obviously, but I don't think she really gets it most of the time. Also, my blindness is due to a brain injury that was caused by a pregnancy complication. I was taken by ambulance to the hospital one night while she slept when she was only 2. That night I fought for my life and slipped into a coma for 2 weeks. I had to spend 6 weeks in the hospital relearning to walk, talk, eat, and all of the regular everyday things healthy people take for granted. She was so young, I don't think she really remembers the before, when I could see perfectly and lived a normal life. Also, my eyes are perfectly healthy, except that I can't see. Nothing about me physically looks different, so nobody can tell that I'm blind. At home, I get around pretty well, so Rachel definitely does not let it interfere with her thoughts. Therefore, her room, like lots of kids, is littered with toys on the floor that are tripping, stabbing death traps for me. So here I go into this torture chamber of tiny Barbie accessories, Legos, and plastic horses to gather a suitcase in her closet to pack. The trick is to enter slowly and walk in an almost shuffling motion. I do this all the way to the closet, where I reach my hands out in front of me and feel for the doors. They are white folding doors. It is imperative that I run my hands down and grab the round knobs and slowly pull the doors apart so I do not pinch my fingers. Next, I have to get the suitcase that I keep in the back right corner of the closet. I get down on my hands and knees and push aside the hangers loaded with pretty dresses I will never really see, and I reach back until I feel the luggage. Packing raised clothes always makes me sad. I can't help but reminisce about the times when she was little and I would drive, by myself, to Carter's and shop for outfits. I took it all for granted that I could run to the store and grab a Christmas dress or a new bathing suit. The last time I saw her clothes, she was so little that she wore dresses with matching diaper covers. All I can do is take a deep breath and remember, I am lucky. I have a healthy family. I am healthy. I live in a beautiful place. I have wonderful friends, and I have a full life. Now, get to packing. When you are blind and packing for your child, it is the same as if you were sighted. You need to bring triple of what you should need. The great news about my setup is my daughter's room has 3 drawers lined horizontally along the bottom of her bed that make for easy access and packing. I know I can make my way carefully from the closet across the room of ponies and toys to her bed. Once facing the bed, I will get on my hands and knees and feel for the handles of the drawers along the floor. Her drawers are neat, thanks to me, not her, and I can go in order to get pajamas, shirts, shorts, and whatnot. I'll spare the boring details of actually picking out clothes. Rachel is still young enough that any clothes will do as long as I have plenty. I pack the suitcase until it is full, and now I need to zip it. This is the hard part. I reach around and pat the floor where I see pink, which I know is a suitcase since it is pink and the area rug is gray. Once I feel the top of the suitcase, I flop it over. Then I put my weight over it and reach for the zipper. The zipper is not where it belongs. It's not at the corner at the top right of the bag. Okay, I feel around the teeth and seams of the zipper for the slider. I run my hands around the entire thing, and no slider. Where is it? Focus, Karen. I try again. I find the teeth, and I take my left hand and my right hand and start each of them together, then run them in opposite directions along the thread of the teeth until each hand reaches the end of a corner of the suitcase. Still nothing, and now my heart is racing. This is a simple task. I just need to zip this ridiculous suitcase so I can move on and eat some lunch. I still need our suitcase. Is Dee really still on a call? What could be so important? How is it possible that closing multi-million-dollar international studies for life-saving pharmaceuticals can take precedence over the fact that I need a suitcase right now? Breathe. I know that zipping a suitcase should not send me into a fit. I will try again. I take a deep breath and put my hands on the bottom of the suitcase and run my fingers up the sides until I feel the teeth of the zipper. Then slowly and carefully, I run my index finger around the suitcase until at last I feel the slider and very satisfactorily zip it shut and do not throw the whole thing through a window. Also, there goes my morning. People are always asking what I do all day. I laugh. I literally never have a single second of downtime. Everything I do takes forever and is a brain challenge. I may no longer run an insurance agency or be busy and important in the money-making sort of way, but I will say I am fulfilled each and every day. You'll see, once you stick your wax paper to your face, you won't have so many needs and important to-do lists or urgent matters to attend to. Finding your lunch becomes not a mundane chore or task, but an actual challenge. On that note, it has been hours, and it is time to get lunch. So, back to the kitchen. I am starving. I am a huge success, as I have just packed and zipped a suitcase, and I know we have lots of food. Dee went grocery shopping yesterday, and our fridge and pantry is fully stocked. I'm psyched for all this glorious cheeses and vegetables, dips and charcuterie, nuts and fruit. I can make a cheese plate or a nice grilled cheese on the thick Italian fresh loaf of bread with some olive oil and maybe a tomato bisque soup. I don't know, but I will see what we have and decide. I make my way to the refrigerator and feel for the handle and yank the door open. And with that simple movement that I have done a million times, my daydreams of an Ellen Hildebrand-style luncheon from one of her Nantucket novels are dashed. My fridge is completely blank, nothing but empty fog staring back at me. It's full, and I can feel things, but I don't know what they are. The pantry is the same, the difference being the refrigerator is bright and the pantry is dark. This weight hits me hard. And I am so tired. I'm still starving, but the idea of trying to decipher the food in the drawers and shelves and packages is too much. I can't go through each box in the pantry. I still have a lot of work to do. I shuffle to the counter and grab the loaf of sliced bread out of the bread bowl kept reliably in the corner with a jar of peanut butter next to the toaster. I make my way across the kitchen and feel through the silverware drawer to the far left slot for the butter knife, and then bring it back to make a piece of peanut butter toast. Spreading the peanut butter on the bread opens up its own set of challenges. Inevitably, I get it on the outside of each of my hands, globs on the counter, and the dog is eagerly licking the floor all around me. I can only assume he is loving this situation a lot more than I am. I've decided to be happy again, and I'll have good food whenever Daryl gets out of work and Ray gets home from school. Also, believe it or not, I do cook good meals sometimes, but today is for packing. I am not yet equipped to take on both tasks on the same day. I just can't. Guess what? Our suitcase has made its appearance. It took Daryl 4 minutes. I roll. Eyesight is a gift, clear, uninhibited eyesight that allows you to see faces and letters and pictures and sunsets is a gift. There is no doubt about this. Another gift is time. Time is not a gift a lot of people realize until it is too late or they are looking back on days past. I have been given the gift of time. I was not supposed to live through that ambulance ride in 2018. I was for sure not supposed to make it through that night. Once I did, the prognosis was that the brain injury was severe enough to leave me in a vegetative state or any number of terrifying outcomes due to the lack of blood and oxygen to my brain. By some miracle, I survived with only damage to my visual cortex, leaving me with fuzzy vision, no smell, and some taste. Very unfortunately for me, I no longer enjoy the sweet deliciousness of a Sour Patch Kid. I get a lot of jokes from people about how nice it must be not to smell anymore. In reality, it is pretty upsetting, especially around Christmas time, when part of the magic is the awesome candles, holiday baking, and smell of the Christmas tree. I also really miss the scent of garlic and olive oil and onions cooking, and then, of course, my husband and daughter and their special smells. Worrying about the loss of my other senses gets put on the back burner, though, because the loss of eyesight is so life-altering it gets all my attention. I will hear interviews with veterans who have suffered explosions and have lost a sense of smell and taste or ringing in their ears, all of which I have, and it's incredible to me the people going around the world with disabilities and discomforts that are unknown to the strangers around them. Some have been through more than others, but everyone suffers with something. And this brings me to time. I am so grateful for this time I have been given. I now play piano. I would never have taken up a musical instrument in a million years pre-blindness, and it is so much fun. I listen to books now. I think if I get my eyesight back tomorrow, I will still use audiobooks. What a treat to have books read to you. I'm home when my daughter gets home from school and am not harried from the stresses of a work day, but am excited to see her. We have so much fun together. We hang out, we play, and we read together. I am involved in her learning in a way that I would not have been able to previously due to work and time commitments. Time is a gift. We all have time, and I hope never again to waste it. Now that my suitcase has appeared magically and quickly without drama from D, I will get to work on my outfits. In order to pick the best outfits, I have to first imagine them in my head. The days of scrolling through my closet and looking through my clothes and shoes are gone. This happens to be good news a lot of the time because in my imagination I always look fantastic in all my outfits. I basically picture myself as a very hip and cool Instagram influencer who is also age-appropriate and classy. You know, perfect. So I envision my outfits first to save myself from the trouble of trying to not only decipher what is in my closet, but also what I want to wear. It's best to take one of these out of the equation. Once I have my outfits planned in my head, I set about the trying task of sorting through my clothing to find each item. Again, as with Rachel's clothes, I will spare the reader these arduous tasks. Please know I expect with your one-time use of paper eye covering, you will get the gist and understand. It is not fun. It would be one thing if packing were a once-in-a-while activity, but it's a constant. Every time I do laundry, this is a challenge. Socks are the worst. Somebody came up with a very clever blind aid to help us organize our socks. There are lots of suggestions, of course. One of the favorites being, why don't you just buy and wear all one color? To which I reply, I don't want to. As a visually impaired person, we have to give up so much. I'm forever sacrificing what I actually want to do for things that are easier for those who are helping me or for what is easily available to me, or to simply do nothing because I cannot get a ride or have anyone to help me. No matter how independent I learn to be, I'm never the way I was before and have learned to accept that. However, I will not wear and subject my family to wearing all the same all-black socks all the time, just to make my life easier. I suppose I could attempt to pass off pink or gray, but I would certainly get pushback on that as well. So, We have millions of different socks, short and long, with patterns and solid, of all colors. The Maxi AIDS people came up with a brilliant solution that is the sock sorter. These are small circular plastic rings with teeth in the middle that you pull a pair of socks through once you've worn them and then throw them in the hamper. They're safe to run through the washer and dryer. When they're out of the laundry, voila, your socks are in their proper pairs, already organized, and you simply pull them from the rings and fold. Wonderful, right? Well, it doesn't work. Not the device. It's fine. The one and only time I actually took off my socks and found a ring and then pulled them through the center teeth and put them in the hamper, the system was flawless. Unfortunately, I never once did it again, and my husband and daughter can never even be bothered to hit the hamper, let alone find a sock-sorting device and go through that rigmarole. It's a great idea for any family, not just the visually impaired, but really ends up like any other organizational gimmick and sits in a junk drawer. We ultimately have a sock box. I throw every sock from the dryer into the sock box, and the family fends for themselves and helps me find mine. It is a fine system and makes for an exciting pre-bus time every single day. That being said, our suitcase is full, and I am going to let Dee have the pleasure of zipping it up, as I have had enough. It is time to go to the bus stop and get Rachel. I have to find my sneakers and, yes, socks, my nemesis, and gather up my courage to face the dangers awaiting me outside. First, there are the steps. They are brick, and there are four. Then the street curb at the end of the driveway, which threatens to twist anyone's ankle when taken at a wrong angle. Hopefully no dogs have left their presents for me to step in on the street. Always a fear for me. And, of course, there are the king cobras I just know are waiting under every single car. Navigating the dangers of a suburban coastal neighborhood are not for the faint of heart. I must be brave. This is also the time for me to meet the other parents at the bus stop. I hope I'm looking directly at their eyes when I speak and not awkwardly off to the side. I hope if someone asks a question, I can tell if they're speaking to me and I don't answer interrupting another conversation accidentally or ignore somebody thinking they are speaking to someone else. Blindness makes a person so socially awkward. The normal social cues one gets with vision are totally gone. It's the same when we adults are standing in a group and the kids are off playing. I have to yell to my daughter a ton, and she knows to answer, "Yes, Mama," so I know she is there and good. Every other parent has a constant and unobtrusive eye on their kid, whereas I am always nervous because I cannot see where Rachel is. To know she is safe, I would want to verbally check in with her every second, the way visual parents have the ability to have a constant eye on their kids. But I realize this is not reasonable. Therefore, I have to call her name way less often than I would want to avoid embarrassment and seeming crazy. Then, when I'm calling her name, people with kindness and good intention say she's fine, but they don't realize that does not help. As a mom, it is important for me to hear from her. In our family, we have long ago had the discussion, and Rachel knows the rule. She knows to answer me when I call out, and she knows not to get embarrassed. I hope she can help teach kids about accessibility for blind people and what is helpful. That is the dream. I'm lucky to have such a supportive family, neighborhood, bus stop crew, and large friend group. And now my suitcase is full, Daryl has zipped it, and I am a success. I will enjoy my walk.